Well, Mark kind of stole my sermon, so I guess I don't really need to preach today. Just like listen to what Mark said and have a great day. No, I'm still preaching it anyway. But New Year's Eve, it's an exciting time of the year. And you know, as we think about New Year's Eve, some people really celebrate it. Some people really don't. I mean, for me, it's like year to year anymore. The older I get, the less I really care. And I'm like, I don't really want to stay up until midnight. And the last couple years, I don't think I have. But this is the kind of year where a lot of people really do sit down and they'll kind of reflect upon their past. They'll look at the last year and look at what has happened throughout their year, and they may kind of maybe use some of that as inspiration to plan for their future. And, you know, for me, if I could have it the way I want, I would like 2018 to maybe go a little bit slower than what 2017 went. I mean, are the years getting shorter? Did anybody actually count and make sure we actually got the full 365 days? Because it sure seems to me like we didn't. I mean, my year was just like that. And so it can be kind of hard to reflect on the last year when it goes by in a blur and you're like, this kind of seems like it should be mid-year already still, and it's already the end of the year. But you know, if you would take time and sit down, okay, this is the problem, is many of us don't take time to sit down and think about things. We just like to do it on the fly. But if we could think about this past year and write some things out, right? You'll have memories of certain events. You'd have memories of certain situations and circumstances, celebrations, and so on, things that you can reflect on. And you can have some records of some things that happened in your life. And I would guess if you look over this list, you're probably going to be able to look at some things and be like, well, that went as I had planned, or maybe even that went better than I have planned. But you're also going to find some things on your list that you're going to think, well, that did not go the way that I wanted it to, did not happen the way I expected. And you can find some things that you did right on your list, find some things you did wrong on your list. You'll find hopefully some motivation in those things you did wrong to know what you would not do the next time if the same thing happens and you have to do it over again. And you could use this list and you could look it over and use it to set some goals for 2018. You can look at that and plan for your future. And for me personally, I can't ever recall a New Year's Eve where I was hoping that next year would be exactly like this year, right? I'm not usually like, Lord, I'll just take the same exact year again. If you could just give me a repeat, I will be good. I don't want next year to be like this year. Don't we want it to be better? Is there anybody here that does not want next year to be better than this year? Because we usually want it to be better. We usually, that's the reason that we even set goals or resolutions, is because we have this hope in us that next year will be better. Even if this year was a great year, we want next year to be better. And so when we do this inventory and we look at the past year, listen, we have to make sure that we don't forget in that list to make note of what God has done. Right? New Year's resolutions, it's so easy for people to write down what I have done, what I have experienced, what you know, my family has done. But we need to make sure we're looking at what God has done. What has God done in your life over this last year? What are the things that he has done that have impacted your life and even the lives of those around you? And I would say that you probably would be surprised if you would start to look at your list kind of more that way instead of what I have accomplished. What has God done in your life? And again, like our personal goals, you would be able to look at that and you should say, God, I want you to do even more next year. You did some great things in my life this year. Maybe you look at that list and you're struggling to come up with some things, but I'm telling you, if you start to look at it in a different point of view, like what is God doing? Maybe even the bad situations, what is he trying to teach me or what is he trying to grow me in? You can look at that and you can say, Lord, I'm thankful for the way that you've worked, but I desire more for 2018. I desire for you to work more in my life, for you to do greater things in my life. I mean, even if God has done great things in your life in 2017, why would we want him to just do the same thing in 2018? Do we believe that God is mighty? Yeah, we believe God is mighty. Then we should desire for him to do even greater things. That if God's working in our lives, we can even expect a miraculous year. right? We don't have to just say, I want a better year, but Lord, I want a miraculous year. I want you to work in ways in my life that cannot be explained by man. I want you to do things in my life that I can't rationalize, I can't reason out, I can't ultimately take credit for. I want you to work marvelously in my life and in the lives of others. And so when we consider our 2017, one of the most important questions we have to ask ourselves is this: did God have a central place in my life in 2017? Did God have a central place in my life in 2017? And from that, you can come up with other questions like, did I put his will and purpose above my own? Did I prioritize my time with Jesus? Was I faithful in seeking him in prayer? You know, I know what all of our answers, what we want our answers to be, what we hope our answers would be, what our answers really should be. But you know, it's easy to get distracted and off course and make our own plans for ourselves because, you know, we get busy with life. We get busy with our family and our work and school and hobbies, activities, and even with church, right? But all of these things, they all demand our time and our attention, and ultimately we will prioritize what's most important to us. So where does God fit in all that? Where does our time with Jesus fit in all that? How important is it? Is he at the top of our list? And this is something that you need to answer honestly, okay? We tend to have a little bit rosier picture of ourselves than what the reality is. And so I would say even maybe pray as you're deciding this, as you're really thinking, did I put God at the center of my life in 2017? It shouldn't just be an answer that you answer with your mind because your mind knows that the answer is supposed to be yes. But commit that to prayer and say, God, did I put you at the center of my life? And if I did not, can you show me where I didn't? Can you show me the areas I need to work on? And so today I want to kind of look at Joshua chapter 24. And this chapter, it's a pretty popular chapter because it has this verse that you see on, you know, placards in people's homes on their walls, and you hear it quoted a lot. There's this verse in there that says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Okay, everybody knows that verse. Everybody's heard it at some point, but what I want to do today is I want to look at what precedes that verse. I want to look at what is going on here that Joshua gets to the point that he makes this statement. So if we start off here in verse 1 of chapter 24, it says, "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and he called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God." So he calls all the tribes of Israel, he calls all the leaders, right, in their various roles, and they present themselves before God. And what we've got to remember here, Joshua as the leader of God's people, he's old right here. Okay, Joshua is very advanced in age, and he knows the end is near, so much so that he had just talked to them about basically, my end is coming soon. And he kind of gave a farewell sermon, if you will. He kind of gave them some encouragement, but he also gave them some rebuke. And Joshua calls all these people, including the leaders, and he calls them to this religious site. This place here in Shechem was a religious site. And he calls them there before God. And I think it's pretty significant that he doesn't just say he called all the people of Israel. He lists them out. He says, "I called all the tribes, but then I called all these other people. I called the elders, I called the heads, the judges, the officers, and presented them before God." So this is for all people, but specifically, he even lists the leaders, that there's a special importance that leaders really need to be listening to this because, again, he's getting ready to go. And somebody's got to be able to carry this message on to the people and make sure that they remember it. And so he goes on here in verse 2. This is the message that God speaks through him. He says, Joshua says to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river. I led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Jacob. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. Afterward I brought you out. And so he's delivering this message to the people. And this message is, what has God done in our past? This message is God reminding them that, you know, I've done some pretty great things in the past here, Israel. I've done some great things. And I'm kind of giving you a reminder here of what they are today. Don't forget what God has done in the past that's got you to the place where you're at right now. And he goes on here in verse 6 and says, then I brought your fathers out of Egypt. You came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you. But I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hand, and you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, also the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, and also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and you eat of the vineyards and the olive groves which you did not plant. See, Joshua reminds Israel here through this word of the Lord that God has done great things all the way from your father, from your fathers, all the way to present time. Again and again and again, year after year after year, situation after situation after situation, God has shown up and he has done great things. And yet these people of Israel, they find themselves in a familiar situation. Right here, they're at a point where they've kind of forgot what God has done, and they've kind of moved on. And like Mark was talking about earlier, they've kind of turned to other things. They're like, well, God's not doing what we need him to do right now. They basically don't have hope for their future because they're forgetting what God has done in their past. And so they turn to other things. And isn't this what we tend to do as people? If we don't remain focused on God, if we don't remain focused on Jesus, then we begin to trust other sources to provide for our needs. See, it's not that we need to focus on the past, okay? It's important to reflect upon the past, not focus and hone in on the past. Paul told us in Philippians to forget the past. He said, forget about what's happened in the past and look to the future and aim on what's going forward. But when he says forget about the past, he's not saying like it doesn't exist. He's saying you don't cling to the past. You don't turn around and try to re-grab and recapture what has happened in the past, but you don't forget it as in it's gone from your mind, right? Because it still serves a purpose. The things of the past, we should reflect upon them. They should help us to remember what's possible for the future. We should be able to look at the past and know that God has done great things in the past. And if he's done great things in the past, not that I'm reaching for you to do those same things, God, but I believe and I know that you can still do great things today. I know that you can still do great things tomorrow and every day after that as I have need. We don't want Jesus to be the God of our past, right? We don't want him to just be the God of the past. We want him to be our God today. We want him to be our God tomorrow. I mean, who wants a has-been for a God, right? That is stuck in the past. And that's all that he has done and all that he will do. The greatest thing that we have as Christians is that our God is alive, right? And that what he's done in the past is great and amazing, but it doesn't even compare to what he can and will do today and in our future going forward. So God is able to do great things. The past is evidence of that. Don't box him into the past, but remember that past and what he has done. And look at the past to remind us that we can trust him with the future. So we should be able to look to God and expect great things in 2018. That's if you can boil 2018 down, the vision for 2018 for Freedom Reigns in Christ Church to one word, it is expectancy. I shared that a week or two ago. Expectancy. We need to expect God to do great things in 2018. Amen? All right. But if we can't look at the past, if we can't see that he did great things in 2017, in 2016, in 2015, and back. Remember here with Joshua, he went all the way back to Abraham. Don't even just look at what I did just this last year, but look at what I've done all throughout history. And it shows, it's proof, it's evidence that I can do great things. We need to be able to look back, because if we can't see that he's done great things in the past, we're probably not going to expect great things for 2018. You're just probably not going to. I'll tell you, if 2017 is as good as it gets, right? If I can't trust in Christ to do greater things in 2018, what probably will happen is I will look for something else to make my 2018 great, right? I mean, isn't that true of the human heart? If we can't really trust God, if I can't look and say, you know what, God, you've done great things, and so I expect you to do greater things. If I can't truly do that, I'm going to look for something else to make 2018 better than 2017. But Psalm 126:3 tells us, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Listen, when you remember the things that God has done, you will be glad, right? And this means more than just glad. Like, glad to me is kind of a mellow word. I kind of look at glad like I'm not mad, right? I'm just kind of like chilled or whatever. But glad actually means to be joyful, okay? So when he says that you remember the things that God has done, you will be glad. You will actually be joyful, not grumpy. Not even just content, not even just blah, you will be actually joyful. You should be happy, and you should rejoice is a part of that. And so it's when we're joyful and rejoicing, that is when we can have expectancy. You don't often run into somebody who's really down and depressed who has an expectancy, right? I mean, when I'm down, I don't usually have an expectancy. I'm not like, woe is me, but tomorrow is going to be great, right? I'm like, woe is me, tomorrow is probably going to stink as bad as today, right? When people are down, they don't usually have an expectancy for tomorrow to be a better day. Usually something's got to snap in there, right? And intervene, whether it be the word of God or whether it be another person, but something, maybe even they just come to the realization at some point, but something's got to intervene, because you don't usually meet depressed people that have an expectancy. You meet joyful people that have an expectancy. You meet those people that are like, man, my God is good. And so I'm expecting him to do something great. We need to be rejoicing in the fact that he has done great things. Jeremiah 29:11, another familiar verse says, for I know the things that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God knows the things that he thinks toward us already. This is something that's it's hard for us to remember, but you know, God has an expectancy for our lives. God has an expectancy for our lives, and it's even the fact that God is joyful when we turn to him. God is joyful when we will come to him in prayer, whether we're in need or whether we're just rejoicing, whether we're just praising. He's always joyful when we are communicating and turning toward him. And this is the reason why, is because he has that expectancy for our lives. You know, even when I don't have an expectancy for my life, even when I'm down and I'm upset, God still has an expectancy for my life. This is why, because he knows the things that he thinks toward me. He knows the plans that he has for me. And this is why God asks you to do things that you don't think that you can do. Because it's not about you thinking if you can do it or not. It's that he has an expectancy for your life. And he knows that with him working in your life that you can do great things. And you can do greater things than what you've done in the past. He knows the thoughts and the plans that he has for you. He knows what he's capable of doing in and through your life. He says that he has peace and hope in your future. He's already planned it out. The question is, are we going to be expecting it? And are we going to trust him for that? Or are we turning to other things? Continuing on in Joshua verse 14, he tells him, he says, "Now therefore fear the Lord." This is following up all the things that God has done. "Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." If you can look back and you can see that God is good because he is, and if you can look back and see that God has done great things because he has, if you can look back and see that he has plans of peace and hope for your future, then you can be glad and rejoice with an expectancy for 2018. If we can't look back and see what he has done, then we could be just like these people right here, where we slip back into those old tendencies, right? Worshiping the gods of their fathers, worshiping these other things as God. We can easily fall back into that stuff if we can't be joyful and have an expectancy for God to do great things. We may look to our family to provide joy. We may look to our job to provide hope. We may look even at our own hard work to provide for our future. But that's not what Joshua tells us we need to do. He says, first thing you need to do is you need to fear the Lord, right? Look at what he's done in the past and rejoice. And then you need to fear the Lord. You need to have that reverence and that awe of the Lord that, man, he actually is a mighty God. Right? He actually can do incredible things, because look at what he's done. We ought to have that fear and reverence of him. And then from that comes serving him. And it's serving him in sincerity and in truth. You know, it's not just doing things for God, right? Because we all do things. We're in a church, we all do things for God, right? Because you come out here and you might clean, or you might serve in an area that you don't feel like doing today. And let's be honest, sometimes we don't do those things for God. We do them because we told somebody we would do them, right? I mean, sometimes that's the reality, okay? But when we have this rejoicing because we see what he's done, and we have this reverence of how great our God is, the next step should be to serve him in sincerity and in truth. That, you know what? It's not just lip service. It's not just that I'm saying I'm going to serve God, but I want that to be something that comes from my heart. That as I'm doing these things for God. It's not just doing things in the church, but that I'm serving God with my life. That the things that I set out to do in my day, my goals for 2018 are not to make more money, unless I'm looking to see what I can do to build the kingdom with that money. It's not that I just get, you know, a better this and a better that and all these things to make my life more comfortable, but it's what can I do to serve my God with this next year and with my life. It's that sincerity and that truth that this is what I actually want to do. It's what I'm striving to do. And we can see that in the goals that we set for our lives. You know, the most important thing that we can do to see what our priorities are is to look at our calendar. And you know, some of you may not use a calendar. I'd encourage you to jot down, you know, what you do. With a budget, when somebody's having money problems, you say, write down all of your money. Every dollar, where did it go? And at the end, when you add it up, you might be surprised what your priorities are. And you can do the same thing with your time to see how you're going to spend your time in 2018. Track your time, what you do, and you'll see, are we giving God that place that he deserves? And then that third thing there, Joshua says, is to put away other gods. The other things that we look to, the other things that we trust in, the other things that we ultimately worship. Again, it takes more than saying we will do these things, because, you know, a declaration like I fear God, a declaration that I serve God, a declaration that I am going to put these other things aside, they only mean something if they're true and you're going to follow through with them. Right? In these next few verses, I don't have them up here, but these next few verses, Joshua and the people kind of go back and forth. And so I made some bullet points here. It's like the people say, yeah, we will serve God. And Joshua says, okay, God is holy. He's jealous. And you can't serve him and foreign gods. And the people are like, no, but yeah, we will serve God. We're going to do it. And Joshua says, okay, well, you're witnesses against yourselves. You said you will serve God, you're witnesses against yourselves. He's telling them you're going to have to hold yourself accountable. You're going to have to actually do this. It's not just about speaking it out, but it's about doing this. And so the people say, we are witnesses, right? They're like, okay, I'll hold myself accountable. I'll hold you and you accountable, and you guys hold me accountable. You see them kind of rallying up. We are witnesses. And then Joshua says, then put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people say, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. If you look at that progression, by the time they get to the end, it's not just we will serve our God, but it's his voice we will obey. That's a pretty big piece to serving God. It's not just what do I want to do and what do I think I could do to help the kingdom, but it's, are you going to obey his voice? That's the place that we've got to come to as we set our goals for our future. Are we going to obey the voice of the Lord? There's a lot of back and forth here, and I can imagine being Joshua, and Joshua has this word. Remember, this is a prophetic word. He starts with, thus says the Lord. It's a prophetic word, and as he's sharing this with the people, God tells him, share this word with my people. And as he's speaking this to them, and they're saying they will serve, and they're still serving their other gods, he's communicating this, and he's like, you know what? My job is to communicate the message. I can't make people put away these foreign gods. I can't make them worship the God and serve the God. And so I see him going through this back and forth, kind of like, all right, I want to make sure you guys know what you're signing up for, right? It's kind of like, that's how we do baptism here. It's not just anybody raise their hand and we'll jump in the pool, but we have a discussion here. Like, do you understand why you're doing this? Do you understand the purpose of it? It's not that you have to have, you know, a full idea of everything about the word, but you got to kind of know, why am I being baptized? What's the purpose? And so that when you're doing it, you're not going to come back in 3 weeks and say, I really didn't know what I was doing then, and I would like to do it again. We want to make sure people know. And I see Joshua kind of spelling it out for them like this. Okay, you're going to serve the Lord, but do you know that he's jealous? Do you know that he won't have you serving him and serving these other things at the same time? And they say, yeah, It's like, okay, do you know that you're going to have to hold yourself and each other accountable? Yeah, we know that too. And do you know that you have to put away these gods, like for real? You have to get rid of them. And they're like, we will, and we will obey his voice. See, they're done doing lip service and they say, yes, we will serve God. Listen, the way we get to that place is we've got to remember what he has done in the past. If you can't remember what God has done in your past, there's no reason for you to obey his voice going forward other than blind faith. And if you're already saved, then you should already have faith, right? So you need the reminder. You look to the past. What has God done? Yes, I will obey his voice going forward because he is able to do great and mighty things. So these were God's people, right? These were God's people. And they had gotten to this place where they're turning to other things to meet their needs for joy and for hope. And they're continually turning to these false gods. Again, it's the same thing that people do today. It's easy to dismiss this and like, well, I don't have false gods, right? I'm not talking about foreign religions. I'm not talking about are you worshiping Buddha or Allah or Gandhi or who knows what else. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about anything that may take up residence in your heart as a god, anything that may rule over your life. In 2018, you have a decision to make. Are you going to set those things aside? Are you going to push those things to the side and elevate God to number one in your life? Are you going to obey his voice? Or are you not? I got some things here that I'm going to list, some false gods. And these aren't all bad things in and of themselves. But I want you to consider this list of things and think about them honestly and be true to yourself here. And think, are these things a god to you? Are these things that take priority in your life, especially over Jesus? Are these things that maybe you even depend on for your joy? Things that you depend on for your hope? Things that you depend on even for your future over Jesus? And so as I speak these things, I got like 12 things here. I want you to just write them down. You don't have to give this to me. It's for your own benefit, this inventory, but write them down if these are things that the Spirit speaks to you that maybe you need to be praying about or maybe even receive prayer about. Number one is entertainment. Is entertainment the thing that you depend on for your joy or your hope or your future? Number two is popularity. Three, education. Four, beauty. Five, comfort. Six, substances. And this could be something like we initially think drugs and alcohol, and it could be that. But this also can be things like caffeine or nicotine or sugar, the things that make us feel good, right? They're meeting what ultimately is a emotional or spiritual need by making us just feel better for a moment. Number seven, family. Number eight, religion. Number nine, science. Number 10, sex. Number 11, money. And number 12, self. So all of these things are things that we, in today's age, we tend to depend upon to fill that gap for our joy, to fill that gap for our hope, to fill that gap for our future. We put these things in a place in our lives many times, and everyone in this room is guilty of probably these things or maybe other things. It's not an all-inclusive list, but we're guilty of putting these things before God and these things being the source and sometimes the sole source of our joy or our hope. And so today is that day, like Joshua charged the people with and said, today is that day that you have to decide, who is it that you're going to serve? You can continue to serve these gods of your fathers. You can continue to serve these gods of all these other areas of your life. Or you can make that stance and that declaration that to me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will even obey his voice like the people had proclaimed. If we're going to serve the Lord sincerely and truthfully, sometimes we've got to look at an inventory and we've got to put away these other gods. Now, some of them do need cut completely out of your life. Okay? And you pray about that and you let God speak to you on that. But most of them just need to be put in the correct position in your life. Right? I'm not saying everybody ditch your family. Okay? I don't want that. That'd be a headache for me, all right? If your family is a god in your life, if it's the sole source of your joy and your hope, that's a problem, because Jesus should be the source of our joy and the source of our hope. And the family can be a secondary source, but Jesus should be the primary. I'm not saying get rid of your family. I'm just saying it's time to reprioritize, okay? Your family is a good thing, but what position should they be in your life? Not number one, probably number two, okay? And you can use all these things in this list, most of them, and they just need to be repositioned for 2018. And I can't tell you where that is, okay? I can't tell you how you should prioritize your life, because that is going to be a different order for me than it is for you. What we need to seek is we need to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, right? We need to see, did any of these strike a nerve? Did any of these offend you when I listed them? If they offended you, that's probably an area of concern in your life, okay? If you dismissed any of them completely, that's not a problem for me. It's probably an area of concern in your life, right? Because probably almost all of this list we all deal with at some point in time. What we need to do is we need to submit that to the Lord and let the Spirit speak to us and teach us that proper order. But today, you have to choose who you will serve. Will you choose to serve the Lord? Listen, if we're going to do that, if you're going to make that proclamation today, I'm telling you, the only way that we can do that, I will serve the Lord and I will listen to his voice. If you are going to say that today, there's only one way that you can do that, and that is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Okay? Fix them on him. And I'm going to read this story out of Acts chapter 3. Wrapping up here. There's this lame man who's laying there in Acts chapter 3, and he's begging for charity. Okay, so charity, basically, anything that you will give me to help me, I will take it, is what where he's at. Okay, probably mostly money, but he'll take food or whatever charity you can give him. Peter and John, they tell him, they pop up there, and he's asking them for charity, and they say, look at us. Okay, so I don't know what the guy was doing, but they're saying, look at us. Like, focus on us for a second. Look at us. And it says that he fixed his eyes on them. Then verse 5 says, he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Okay, so once your eyes are fixed, then you give them your attention and you can expect to receive something. It's like, I'm in need. They tell me, look at us. Now I'm expecting something, right? I have an expectation that now you're not just going to laugh at me or poke me with a stick. You're probably going to give me something that I need. And they tell him, we don't have what you're looking for, right? We don't have money. We don't have silver and gold, is what they tell him. But they say, we've got something greater. And they say, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And they took him by the hand and they lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. When we are looking at our future, making plans, dreaming dreams, we should consider what the Lord has done, but then we should fix our eyes on Jesus. Like you see with this man, when he fixed his eyes on them, and he focused on them, he had this expectation. When we fix our eyes and give Jesus our attention, we can expect to receive something. And what did this guy receive? He received something way greater than what he was even asking for. He expected some money. He expected some food. He expected a blanket. And they gave this guy the ability to walk in the name of Jesus. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we stop with the distraction and we fix our eyes on him, when we concentrate on him and give him our attention, we can receive something that's greater than what we are actually asking for or looking for. That is how we expect to have a greater 2018 than we had a greater 2017. It's if we can fix our eyes on Jesus. Again, he may not give you exactly what you're looking for. He might not give you the exact thing that you're asking, but if you look to him, he'll give you something great and probably something greater than what you ever asked for. Amen? All right, if you would stand with me in this place. And here's what we're going to do today. It's a little bit different. We're going to play a video, a worship song up here at the end. But this is what I'm asking, just simply, just like Joshua did. I'm asking this day that we choose, we make that declaration who we're going to serve. Are you going to serve these other things that are in our lives, these other things that we set up as gods, as idols that we worship ultimately with our lives? Or today, are we going to choose to serve the Lord and to listen to his voice? And so I'm just going to ask for a simple response, that if that's you today, if you're declaring, not to me, not to your spouse, not to your neighbor, but if you're declaring to God that today I choose that me and my house are going to serve the Lord and we're going to listen to your voice, I'm just going to ask you to come up front. And right now, if that's you, come to the front and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to close with a song that it'll have the lyrics right here on the video. So come on forward if that's you today. And Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, where would we be without your word? Where would we be without the encouragements that we find in your word? Where would we be without, Lord, even the challenges that we find in your word? And as Joshua charged the people with this word of the Lord, God, we pray that today that you charge us with that same call, that we declare today, we decide today who it is that we're going to serve in 2018. Lord, we know that our God is mighty. We know that our God has done great things and that he is capable of doing greater things. We know that Jesus is greater than the things we face. And Lord, today as we declare that we will serve you, we're declaring that we're going to fix our eyes on you. We're declaring that we are going to listen to your voice. We're going to obey your voice. And as we focus on you for our needs in this life, Lord, just like this lame man did with Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, when we look to you and give you our attention, we have an expectancy that you are going to pour out on us whatever it is that we need, that we're going to receive what we need, and that what we receive will actually even be greater than what it is we ask for. So today we make that declaration to you, and we say that as for us, we will serve the Lord and we will listen to your voice. If that's you in this place, repeat after me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will obey your voice. Yes, we thank you, Lord, and we ask you, Lord, to move mightily in our lives. Lord, let this year be a year unlike any other, that we see a miraculous year. We see a year that we can shout from the rooftops about how great our God is, and about what, not just what he has done, but what he is doing and what he is going to do. Let us truly have an expectancy. Let that word be placed upon our hearts this year, not just today, not just tomorrow, but Lord, each and every day, regardless of what we see with our physical eyes, let us have that expectancy in our spirits. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.